In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We want to show how the Catholic Church was the main forger of European culture, the basis of Western culture, and it did this especially through the work of so many monks who made an effort by copying manuscripts, working the land, inventing new techniques, founding universities and hospitals, and laying the foundations of modern scientific progress. However, all this effort of the Church was despised by the philosophers of the Enlightenment, who in the 18th century wanted to make traditional values disappear, especially the monarchy and the Catholic religion. Their philosophical ideas led to the excesses and massacres of the French Revolution, just as in the 21st century, other movements that emerged from atheistic philosophies, such as communism and Nazism, have done. We will observe the current panorama of European culture, which rejects everything related to Christ and religion. And we will hear how many excesses the current European civilization has fallen into. Europe is sick for having turned away from God and having rejected the traditional values of the Christian faith. To become strong and vigorous again, it needs Christ. Otherwise, it will continue to fall more each day until it disappears as such. The work of Christians in the pagan world of the Roman Empire was slow but sure. They fought against cruelty and immorality, defending life at all times, and caring with charity for the poor, the elderly, and the sick. The work of Christians was an example for their contemporaries, and therefore they admired them, and many converted to this religion in which they saw moral values, love, and charity for all. The impact of Christianity on society, especially after the freedom granted by Constantine in 313, was enormous. The Church was the main promoter of works of charity, progress, and scientific advancement. One of the main characteristics that distinguished the Christians of the first centuries from the pagans was their charity towards the poor and the sick. This was clearly manifested at the time of the great epidemics, which were frequent in those times. In the year 165, during the reign of Emperor Marcus Aurelius, a devastating epidemic spread throughout the empire. It was the first appearance of smallpox in the West. During the 15 years that the epidemic lasted, a quarter or a third of the population of the Roman Empire died, including Marcus Aurelius himself in the year 180 in Vienna. Then, in the year 251, came another devastating epidemic that appears to have been measles. Saint Cyprian, Bishop of Carthage, in his mortality work, wrote that year 251. Many of our Christians are dying due to this plague and pestilence. The great Christian historian, Saint Eusebius of Caesarea, also alludes to this plague and says in his Ecclesiastical History that this disease came unexpectedly as something more horrifying than any known disaster. It was a huge social disaster. To give us an idea, let's think that in 1707, in Iceland, more than 30% of the population died of smallpox. Well, in those difficult moments, Christians set an example of charity and selfless help. Pope Saint Dionysius the Great, Bishop of Alexandria in the 3rd century, in his festive letters, cited by St. Eusebius of Caesarea in his Ecclesiastical History, speaks of the efforts of Christians to help the sick, which led to a lower mortality rate among Christians than among the pagans, who fled, abandoning their sick, for fear of contagion and death. Pope St. Dionysius the Great says, "Most of our fellow Christians showed unlimited love and loyalty, never showing meanness and thinking only of others. Heedless of dangers, they took care of the sick, attending to all their needs and approaching them as they would Christ, and sharing their serenely happy lives with them. Since they were infected by others with the disease, sinking into themselves the disease of their neighbors and joyfully accepting their pains. Many, while caring for and tending to others, transferred the deaths of others onto themselves and died in their place. Our best brothers lost their lives in this way. Numerous priests, deacons, and laity thus obtained high praise, since death in this form seems in all its aspects something equivalent to martyrdom. The pagans behaved in the opposite way. At the beginning of the disease, they drove away those who suffered and fled from their side, throwing them on the roads before they died, treating the corpses like garbage, hoping in this way to avoid the spread and contagion of the fatal disease. But no matter what they did, they couldn't escape. A century later, the Emperor Julian the Apostate, realizing that Christians did social work and cared for the poor and sick, encouraged pagan priests to do the same as Christians, and addressed a letter to the High Priest of Galatia, where he states, "Christians are kind to strangers and care for the graves of the dead." In another letter to another priest, the Emperor Julian himself wrote, "It seems to me that what had happened that the poor were abandoned and ignored by the pagan priests, the wicked Galileans," referring to the Christians, "realized and dedicated their lives to benevolence. The wicked Galileans not only support their poor, but also ours, and everyone can see that they lack our help." Julian hated the Christians, whom he called Galileans, but acknowledges their charitable services to the poor and sick in those days when neither the empire nor the pagan religions had care or social services. It is important to note that the famous classical physician Galen, who lived during the first great epidemic under Marcus Aurelius, cowardly fled from Rome in the year 165 to a remote region of Asia until the danger passed. It is what all the pagan people who could do it did, except the Christians. For this reason, Tertullian, who lived from 155 to 230, wrote, "Our concern is for the dispossessed and needy, which distinguishes us from our pagan adversaries, who say of us, 'Look, look at how they love each other.'" Love was the hallmark of Christians, as the pagans themselves recognized. Hence, in the ordinances of the church, there were norms to care for the poor and sick, a special mission of deacons. In the apostolic constitutions around the year 380, it was said, "Deacons must do good works, exercising general supervision day and night without despising the poor. They must find out who is in poverty and not exclude them from the distribution of church funds, also convincing the rich to spend money on good works." Saint Eusebius of Caesarea says that, as a result of the good example of the Christians, many pagans became interested in the Catholic religion and converted. And when, from the year 313, Emperor Constantine, with the Edict of Milan, gave freedom to Christians, not only were public churches built, but the first hospitals were also created. Almost without exception, a Christian-run health center was built in every great city of the empire. In these hospitals, or small health centers, they gave shelter and lodging to foreigners. They cared for the sick. They cared for widows, orphans, and all the poor in general. And to have funds for social works, Christians frequently fasted to offer the money saved for the poor and sick. Even the church fathers of the first centuries found time to attend to those in need. Saint Augustine of Hippo founded a hospice for pilgrims and runaway slaves, where clothes were distributed to the poor. St. Basil the Great, in the 4th century, also founded a hospital in Caesarea. St. John Chrysostom, around the year 407 in Constantinople, organized orphanages, shelters, and other works, serving 5,000 needy people. St. Helena, also known as Helena or Helena Augusta, who lived from 242 to 329, mother of the Emperor Constantine, founded several Christian hospitals. St. Ephrem the Syrian, who lived from 306 to 373, founded a hospital in Edessa with 300 beds for the afflicted and especially the indigent. St. Jerome tells us in his letter 77 that in the year 400, the matron Fabiola founded a hospital for the sick in Rome on the banks of the Tiber. From the Constantinian time of peace, many hospitals were founded, with some peculiarities. Nosocomia were for the sick. Gerontocomia were for the elderly. Xenodochia were for the poor and pilgrims. Orphanotropia were for the orphanages. As we can see, from the earliest times, the church institutionalized the care of the poor, widows, orphans, and especially the sick. Those were times when pagans fled, leaving their sick relatives. For this reason, in the 3rd century, St. Cyprian rebukes the pagans of Carthage. "You show no compassion for the sick, but you plunder the dead with greed. You dare not bury the dead, but you run greedily to appropriate what they leave." Voltaire, the great anti-Catholic propagandist of the 18th century, recognized the spirit of charity of so many daughters and sons of the Catholic Church. And this is what so many anti-Catholics throughout the centuries have had to acknowledge, much to their regret. In the Middle Ages, in certain monasteries, especially Benedictines and Cistercians, they had hospitals for the care of the sick, the elderly, and the disabled. Also in the Middle Ages, the first assistance centers for the mentally ill emerged at the initiative of Joan Gilibert Joffrey in Valencia in 1409. At this time, the hospitaller orders appear, some of them linked to the military character, since they were also dedicated to the defense and shelter of the pilgrims, especially those who were going to the Holy Land. Thus appeared the military order of St. John of Jerusalem, which is the current order of Malta, born in 1048, and the Teutonic order, which emerged at the end of the 12th century in favor of the German pilgrims. The Order of the Knights of St. John, also known as the Hospitallers, left a special mark on the history of European hospitals, and mainly for their Jerusalem hospital, with its extensive facilities. This hospital, founded around 1080, provided food for the poor and shelter for pilgrims, who were very numerous in Jerusalem. At first, it was created to serve Christians, but later it also served Jews and Muslims. In this Jerusalem hospital, small surgeries were done. The sick received 2 medical visits each day and received 2 main meals. In the 13th century, the Order of Hospitallers administered about 20 hospitals and leprosariums. In the 16th century, 2 religious congregations emerged, dedicated primarily to the care of the sick. The Brothers of John of God in Spain and the Camillians in Italy. In the 17th century, St. Vincent de Paul and St. Louise de Marillac emerged, dedicated to charity and the Christianization of society. St. Vincent de Paul dedicated himself in a special way to the care of the galley slaves, condemned to row in the ships of the King of France, and was appointed royal chaplain of the galleys. St. Joseph Calasanz, who lived from 1558 to 1648, dedicated himself with special effort to promoting free popular schools among poor people. In the 19th century, between the years of 1850 and 1880, 20 female religious congregations emerged for charity and education. In the 20th century, the Dutch priest Wernfried van Straten, who lived from 1913 to 2003, was defined as a giant of charity, who after the Second World War became aware of the situation of poverty and need in which Germany was. He dedicated himself to heal the wounds of 16 million German refugees. It would be impossible to list in this video all the Catholic institutions dedicated to the care of the sick or to works of charity. There are many religious congregations dedicated almost exclusively to the care of the sick and needy, such as the Congregation of Mother Teresa of Calcutta with its 5,000 nuns. Currently, the church cares for a quarter of all HIV patients in the world. In the Catholic Aid Directory, published by the Vatican in 2000, the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, an organism of the Holy See, in charge of promoting and organizing the charitable and assistance institutions of the Catholic Church in the world, provides in 4 languages the guide of 1,100 organizations and institutions involved in the field of charity and that help in case of catastrophes or needs, without distinction of religion. For these, they ask for collaboration from Catholic parishes around the world. For this reason, we can say that there is not, nor has there been in the world, any religion or other institution that has collaborated more than the Catholic Church in caring for the poor and sick. For some reason, the Church was the founder and organizer of the first hospitals and charities. Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.